There's a fascinating shuva in Eben Ezra, Chelek Aleph, Simon Sadi Aleph, from 1956, with regard to stealing a shidduch. And the question essentially was, a young man was mishudach to a young woman. Guess there was already a match that had been made. Is it now permissible for another young man, enterprising individual, to swoop on in and lure the woman in question away from the originally designated chasan and to take her as his own kala? Now, we're not talking about swooping in on a hang glider and just snagging her. We're talking about through negotiations, through... that's the question. The question is the following. There is a din in the Gemara Kedushin in Tesamon Aleph about Ani Mahapech Bechrara, that if an Ani is making an attempt to obtain a loaf of bread or a piece of bread, and someone else runs in and snatches it before he can get it, he's a Rasha, you're not allowed to do that. So the question is, well, with regard to Shidduchim also, if one young man has been making efforts to come to terms to marry or to become engaged to a young woman, and another young man, at the last moment, drops in and lures her away with whatever incentives he might put on the table, is that also usur because it's like a case of ani hamahapich bechrara, of a poor man who's making an attempt to obtain a piece of bread, and someone else comes in and swoops in and snatches it. So the question obviously is in part dependent on, well, at what stage of the game are we talking about? Are they married? Well, obviously, if he's married, it's too late. It's done. Are they engaged? Are they just dating? Was it just a shidduch that some mothers were talking about, on the porch one Shabbos afternoon, and they haven't even gone out yet? What stage of the game are we talking about over here? So Moshe says the following. Moshe says, number one, it's a davar pashut, he says, if they haven't already decided and concluded that this will be a shidduch, meaning either he or she is still hemming and hawing, I don't know, is he right, is she right, is this the best thing for me, I don't know. Or, even if in theory they really want to marry one another, but they still haven't worked out the financial arrangements to conclude the deal. For example, yes, I want to marry him, he wants to marry me, but I will not marry her unless I'm supported for 10 years in Kollel. And, we haven't yet confirmed that financial component of the arrangement yet. So Moshe says, if for either reason they're still undecided, and therefore it's not yet for sure that this will be a shidduch, conclusively, Barer, says of Moshe, there's no din, no isser of mahapach bechrara here. How does he know that? Because of Moshe says, even with regard to business, mekach omemka, purchasing and selling, the Ramah paskins in Choshen Mishpat Simon Reish Lamed Zayin, that when do we apply the isser of Onei Mahapech Bechrara, someone else is attempting to buy something, you're not allowed to swoop in and purchase it instead of him, that, says the Ramah, is only if a prospective purchaser and seller have already concluded a price. If they've already agreed upon a price, okay, we've accepted this amount for the purchase, and then you come in and say, no, I'm giving you more, I'm buying it, not him. That's a din of anim hapech bechrara. In other words, if the purchaser and seller already agreed on a purchase price, they just haven't yet done the kinyan, they haven't yet finalized the acquisition, that's when there's an issue of anim hapech bechrara. Now no one else can come in and say, I'll pay you $5 more, give it to me instead. However, says Ramah, if they haven't yet even agreed upon a price, they're still bargaining back and forth. How much are you going to pay me for the house? Right? A guy is looking into purchasing a house, and they're still arguing. I want $550. No, I'll only give you $525. So they haven't yet settled on a purchase price yet. And then someone else comes and says, "Hey, I'll give you $550 for the house." So that's as a must not usser, because if the purchaser and seller haven't yet agreed on a price yet, so of course someone else can come in and say, "I'll give you your asking price for the house that you want to sell." Why? Because why should the seller have to settle for $525 just because the first prospective customer offered $5.25, if another guy's one's coming a day later and offer $5.50, so why should I lose out to sell my house for less? What, it should be us for me to sell to somebody else who's giving me more than the first guy? That of course is not the case. So Moshe says, if you see from the Ramah that when I'm selling something, the fact that somebody made an initial offer does not make it usher for someone else to make a higher offer, so long as I haven't accepted the first offer yet. Because why should I, the seller, lose out if I can make more money rather than less money? So Kol Shekhen says in Moshe, certainly with regard to Shidduchim issues, why should we make the woman, so to speak, lose out? Just because a Shidduch was proposed to her and maybe she started dating him and she's considering it, but now that someone else is available, I'd much rather marry that guy. So why should she be forced to marry the first guy just because he started dating her first? There's no issur there, says the Moshe of Anim Havich B'Kharara. So therefore Moshe says, Bar Shemutter L'Kul Yama, in such a scenario that they haven't yet conclusively decided to make the Shidduch, that someone else can then come in and offer a better incentive to lure the woman in his direction.
Does that mean that she can date multiple guys at once?
I was thinking it. I decided not to say it just yet. But all that Moshe says is that if the first person she's considering marrying, they have not yet agreed upon the marriage, they're still deciding, thinking about it, it might not yet for sure happen, then there's nothing wrong with someone else coming in and proposing himself as a better shidduch, and she can consider that second offer as well. He doesn't discuss whether she should date both at the same time or not. I can't say what he would say. All I can say is what he writes, which is that if she chooses to marry someone else after having seriously considered an initial offer, she can still do so as long as the first initial offer wasn't decided upon conclusively. Okay. However, says Moshe, what happens, he says, if they've already decided to conclude the shidduch? They've already decided, okay, we'll get married. But they have not yet done the kinyan that was traditionally done at an engagement. Now, back in Europe, as we know, the tanaim were done, not like we do them today at the chasna, they were done, much in advance when the agreement was decided upon. Okay, he's going to marry her. Okay, make a kinyan, maybe even assign a star tanoim, fine. Says that's just to ink it on paper and to seal the deal. So Moshe says, let's say they've decided to marry already, but they have not yet done the kinyan that is traditionally done at the time of the engagement. So then Moshe says it should be totally on the following machlokas. Because there's a machlokas Rashi and Benatam in Kedushin. This issur to take a piece of bread that someone else is trying to get. According to Rashi, that applies even to a situation in which the piece of bread is a hefker piece of bread on the floor. It's a hefker piece of bread on the floor. One guy is eyeing it, walking towards it, intending to pick it up. And I, amazing diving swoop, and I snatch it first. Rashi says, I was over the issur of Anim Abach Bechrara. How could I take it before this guy can get it when he's obviously making efforts to get it first? Ben Tam says no. Ben Tam says, when it comes to a hefker mitzia, which is not readily available every single day, so just because one guy started attempting to get it first, why should I, if I also want to get it, lose out on the opportunity to find a diamond ring, which doesn't happen every other day? Purchasing an item in the store, okay, so I can purchase it here, purchase it there, you can get it whatever you want. Now, a diamond ring, that's for free because someone lost it. No simanim, hefker, you can take it. So that only happens once in a blue moon. Why should the second person to see it be prohibited from getting it first, if he can, just because the first guy saw it first? So Ben Tam disagrees with Rashi and says, no, the issur of Anamapa Pechorora only applies to mekach or memkar, but not to hefker or matana. So Rav Moshe writes that the Ramah paskins that the Ikar Hadin is like Ben Atam, that there's no Isser of Anim Hapech Bechrara when it comes to Hefker, because you know, Hefker Metziah isn't readily available every single day. So why should we allow the first guy to claim it as his own just because he saw it and tried to get it first, and make the second guy lose out because he was the second guy to see it? So too says Rav Moshe, according to that sheet of the Ramah and Tosfos, with regard to a shidduch as well, if it hasn't yet been sealed with a kinyan, the fact that they agreed on the engagement, why should the second guy lose out on a great shidduch? There's only one young woman available with all the alam gutamilas, so why should the second guy lose out just because the first guy saw her first, if it wasn't sealed yet with a kinyan? But according to Rashi, that even when it comes to hefker, the din of anim havech lechora applies, that first guy making efforts to get it, he's the one who should get it, and the second guy can't snatch it before he gets it. So then by shidduch as well, even if they agreed upon it without making the kinyan yet to seal the deal, according to Rashi, it should be also the second guy to swoop in. However, Rav Moshe says, once they've already made a kinyan to seal the engagement, and now there's now an Isser Mitzad Acherem to be Mevatel that kinyan, that tinoim, that engagement. Or says Reb Moshe, let's say nowadays, where we don't really do a kinyan, b'shasta engagement nowadays. Nowadays, what do we do? For formality, we do the tinoim at the time of the chasna. That's meaningless as a Moshe, because by that point in time, you've already spent who knows how many thousands of dollars on deposits and catering fees and photography fees, and you're already in it to win it, right? The tanoim et chasna, says a Moshe, is lo klum. It's not really accomplishing anything. So for us today, what really is the indication that you are going to go through with it? The engagement. Once you start announcing chasan v'kala, you have a vort, whatever, you know, you've already announced that we're engaged. That for us today is okay, that's sealing the deal. That's really meaning it. So today, says Reb Moshe, once you've already announced your engagement, chasan v'kala, there's already a cherem to be mevatel that shiduchim. And he says the following. He says, for example, he says, im hechlitu ligmar shiduchim, if they have decided to conclude the engagement. And there's nothing else they still have to do. No kinyan, no ksivas hatzonoim. K'moshanogin harbe bekan. Like today, many today have this custom, he says. Alzela vado yesh kvar hacherem. And it's usser then for someone else to swoop in and lure her away and cause her to violate the cherem. You know, to back out for no good reason from the engagement. Sefer Moshe says, b'mzina senu kan, where once they conclude and they decide to get engaged, they don't have any additional kinyan or ksivas hatanam they have to still do. They're already called chasan v'kala immediately after they get engaged. There might not be an isra of onim hapech bechurara because there was no kinyan done yet, but there still is an isra mitzad v'cherem, says Reb Moshe. But if they haven't yet publicized that they're already chasan v'kala, so then, in our country, in our Medina, says Reb Moshe, it's not yet considered a gemar mamish. It's not yet considered a concluded deal. There's no cherem yet. And perhaps there shouldn't be an isser. Perhaps there shouldn't be an isser of someone else coming in and snatching this kala. But yesh lahachmer besafik cherem, because it's a serious shaila, says Reb Moshe. Then Reb Moshe proceeds, very briefly, to suggest, to prove, that once you assume there's a cherem preventing someone else from swooping in and taking this kala from the first guy, even though there's no kinyan and no ksivas hatanoim, there was just an engagement that was announced, Reb Moshe holds that once there's a cherem in place, then memel is also an isra of anim havech lechrara. And without getting into the details, Reb Moshe proves that once it's usser for someone else to lure the kala away, who's been engaged to another chasan because of the cherem involved in causing her to abrogate her engagement for no real good reason, my male wants it's also for me to do it because of the cherem, it's also also for me to do it midin on hamapech b'charara, and he explains the svaras behind that chiddush in this tshuva as well. L'maiser of Moshe concludes by saying the following. He says, Yatzalon ledina, halacha l'maisa, says Moshe, is that kol zman shelo huskam ben shnehem ligmar hashiduchim, if they haven't yet conclusively decided, we're going to get engaged. There's no iser bichlal for someone else to come in and to offer her a better proposal and to get engaged to her. That's number one. Number two, says Reb Moshe, if they've already become engaged, but it's in a place where the minig always is to make a kinyan or a tanoim in order to really make them consider chasen v'kala. They haven't done that yet. So then Reb Moshe says, it's machlokas rishonim, Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi, by hefker or matana, does the ish of anim atach b'chora apply to a case of hefker where there's an item that's not readily available every single day? Can I then take it from before someone else who wants it gets it, or not? And Reb Moshe says, me'ikar adin v'paskin like Rabbeinu Tam, that there's no ish of anim atach b'chora there. But Reb Moshe writes, it's a ro'oi for a yorei Hashem to be machmer like Rashi, that even in this case where they're engaged but there was no kinyan or tanoim done yet, that you shouldn't lure her away. And if case number three, says Reb Moshe, there already was a kinyan or a tanoim written up, or in our medinos, in our country, where the minig is that once you get engaged, that's it, you don't need a tanoim or a kinyan to, you know, make you officially engaged, the announcement alone is good enough, so then Reb Moshe says there's a cherem that falls into place once a couple's already engaged against them breaking it for no valid reason, and therefore it would be usher for someone else to swoop in and to lure the kala away with a better proposal for her. And a Moshe, again, his chiddush in the tshuva is that once it's usher for someone else to lure her away in mitzad the cherem of breaking the engagement needlessly for no good reason, there's also an isra memela on him to do it mitzad the isra of anehem hapich bichrara. That's Reb Moshe's bottom line. So halacha lemaisa, before they get engaged, you can offer whatever you like, no matter how many times they've gone out. Once they're engaged, it is usur. That's his bottom line psak. This is again Evan Ezra Chelik Aleph Simon Sadi Aleph.
When do you agree to get engaged? Don't you have to go over on Mishapara?
Once they agree to get